So I have a lot of the scriptures in the outline, but I tried to leave you a lot of room to write on the first page. But as we get started, we've covered two topics now, right? We've covered two topics. Anybody know what topics we've covered? Jay, you'll know at least one of them. Well, I hope you'll know one of them. Yeah, the knowing the Father. And it wasn't necessarily focused on prayer, but you have an excuse because you were with me, you weren't here. So what was the second lesson about? Jay, our purpose. Who are we? You know, what is our purpose? What is man's purpose? And I guess the question is, we're looking at why would we start a Sunday school lesson on the Christian family with knowing God and knowing our purpose? We'll shed a little light on that today when we look at this third class, which is our primary role and the distinction between roles and jobs or responsibilities. Be thinking about that question, because I'm going to want some input on that, on the difference between a role and a job or responsibility. But why don't we open in prayer as we start looking at what God has to say about our roles as Christians. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for the worship that's already taken place here today. Just thank you for the opportunity to come and worship before you, worship of you. Lord, just pray that you will help guide and direct us as we look into your word today and during this class. Be with the other teachers as they're conducting class and the teaching of, from the youngest all the way up to adults. Just pray that you will continue to lead and direct us as we seek to do your will and also understand your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, let me get some thoughts on the difference between a role and a job. I mean, is there a difference?
It occurs to me just that when you want to get a question, that the role kind of is set by who you are at your core. The jobs really seem to derive from it. You have tasks and jobs that are that come under a role. Role is the primary thing who you are.
Okay. So role is more of a who you are, your core, what it is that you are, and then the jobs come out of that, what it is you do as a result of, yeah.
I think a role has to do with your relationship within a group, whether it be a part in a play or a member of the church. If the part you play in the group or as a job is more of an individual responsibility.
Okay, so a role would be more of what your function in as a group, and a job, an individual.
Yeah, well, they're kind of intertwined. But
sure. Yeah, they're definitely connected. Other thoughts? Yeah, Pat. Right. Sure. Right. Right. Yeah, and you're right. We're trying to get in this discussion, why would we care more than other than just to establish what we're talking about, so we're on the same page before we get started. Right, which is also why we looked at knowing the Father, knowing God, knowing who God is, knowing his attributes, and in looking at why that matters to us in our life, what is our purpose, and what are we called to do? So I would say I put a couple of notes in here and left off the rest of the outline, but the role versus job, yeah, role, our purpose in life or place in life, who we are. A job is what we do, our responsibilities, our tasks, our work, our functions. And each role may have multiple jobs or responsibilities. Roles are kind of the context of who you are, and jobs are the content of what you do. I don't want to jump ahead, but our primary role in life, we've got culture, we've got scripture, and sometimes those two are in conflict, I would say. So when you look at what the world says, our roles are, what is our purpose or who we are, compared, what the culture says, compared to what Scripture says. Let me just say, as Christians, when you look at, we'll look at Genesis first. When you look at Genesis, what is God's statement about our primary role in life? Let's start with the men, and then we'll look at women also. Let me ask first of all, when you look at culture, is there a difference? When the world looks at our roles as men and women, is there a difference? I could have asked that question 50 years ago and may have gotten a different answer. Pat? Sure. So in culture and legal issues, if there's a breakdown in marriage, for example, a lot of times blame will be placed on or directed first at the husband a lot of times. Now, in Jewish culture, you couldn't get a divorce, for example, unless there was blame on one of the others, and it was often placed on the woman because it was the man coming to the rabbi for the divorce. But yeah, I would say that's right. Custody is often awarded to the woman, unless there's just dire circumstances that point out that's not a good result. But nine times, a significant percentage of the time, you'll see that in court awards, they'll direct it towards a mother instead of a father. But let's look at, so is there a distinction in culture between the roles of men and women? Yeah. Yeah, I know. I hear from Tyler when he's coming home, hearing about the culture and what they're saying about men and women, if he arrives late, I'll have him explain that further. Now I've called him out for being late. But there's definitely that conflict, but a strong desire to break down the difference, if there's a difference. That is, a lot of the teaching, a lot of feminism, or I guess is a word that's inappropriately used a lot of times, where they're trying to break down the differences so that there's no distinction in any role, in any job, in any responsibility between a man and a woman. Yeah, Pat. Right.
And it's crazy because we know Marines are like friends and politicians, policymakers, and most of the Democrats are insane. And if even female Marines are saying this.
Right. Right, where they try to make everything the same, although, and I can't speak on the military, where there are some differences in the standards of the qualifications to be a Marine. I don't know if you have to have different physical standards. I don't know if that's the same anymore or now, or if they always used to be different. What about in Scripture? Yes. Right. Right. Yeah. Well, let's look at some scripture. Let's look at Genesis 1, and it's in your outline. I've got this first page where you can write some notes down if you care to write notes. The second page is homework. If you want homework, I actually gave you a side page, a separate page from the outline, which is homework from last week. Since I wasn't here, I'm giving you homework from last week. So, or 2 weeks ago. That's right. No. Supplemental, extra credit, let me put it that way. I've had this discussion with several people where they're like, where do I start if I'm looking at Christian, you know, family worship or my own personal worship? Where can I start? Well, I'm going to give you a tool if you're looking for that option that will supplement our study in Sunday school with scripture you can look up over the week in between this Sunday and next Sunday, where you can get some additional scripture that we won't get to here today, but supplement what we're going to talk about today. And the paper I gave you beside the outline is supplemental work to supplement what we studied the last 2 weeks, just for your reference. So you have 2 weeks of homework in this week if you want to take the time. But you can use it for your personal devotions, for your family devotions, whatever you want to do. Genesis, but the third page is the scripture we're going to look at today, third and fourth page of your outline. So could somebody read the first passage, Genesis 1, 26 through 31? Somebody willing to read it? Can we?
Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish, sea, and the birds, the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him.
So this passage talks about God's creation of man. And when you look at, what I thought we'd do is look at the very beginning when God first created man and see how that came about and what he said about man and his role. And I'm saying man and his in the grammatical sense, not in the gender sense. That is, I would want to cover both of, that is man and woman, that he created human, that he created us. When his creation discussion, who's he talking to at the beginning of this passage? Who's talking? Who's having this discussion? Let me say it that way. The Trinity. As God is communing with himself and the Spirit, the Son, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So the number one role in Scripture for us as Christians would be what? You can keep looking at the other Scripture, the rest of this, but yeah, to be bear the image of God, to be image bearers. You hear that term, and we saw that a lot in the VBS Scripture, but we are created in the image of God, and you look through Scripture over and over, I tried to narrow it down. I tried to find the primary Scripture that says we are to be like God. Our goal is, our striving is to be like Christ, to be like God. We are, and it's just, you can't narrow it down. It's all of Scripture. You know, we are, our purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And in accomplishing that, we look at, that's why I want to look at who God is and what His attributes, because what is it we're striving for? What is it we are desiring, we should be desiring in our heart to be like God? And then we'll start looking at how do we accomplish that, which, of course, is a trick question. But so what else is man's role? What is our role as Christians or human? You know, we are, and we're all created in the image of God, or you know, let me ask you that. Are men and women created in the image of God? Yeah. I've seen some who would discuss this as saying, well, He created man in the image of God, and then He created woman out of man. This passage says, in, you know, He created them in the image of God, male and female, He created them. I don't think you can argue that men and women are, that we are all created in the image of God. But then what else are we supposed to be doing here on earth? Be fruitful and multiply. And does that mean we all have to get married and have children?
We all need to be mathematicians.
That's right. We all need to be mathematicians. I was in the nursery today, and Zane was going wild on it's not the abacus, but it's that thing that looks like a wound up bent out of shape abacus. It's counting away. Yes, Pat. I'm saying role, but let's also talk about responsibilities. Yes. Right. Yeah, that's why it's hard to parse out the difference, but I would say our primary, you know, we are created in the image of God. Our role is to, you know, be desiring to be like God.
I think the hard part about it is that for you, a role versus a responsibility, for you to give a responsibility to somebody who cannot actually fulfill that responsibility because it's mismatched. You know, we're struggling with that in our church right now, where we're trying to fit people into roles because of who they are, and that's given, you know, a gift to them that they're good. The gift that they are, and match them up because of who they are, not try to force somebody who can't, just, you know, do that because they don't have that gift.
Mm-hmm.
God makes us all unique.
Right. Yeah, what is God asking us to do? Well, and I think you talked a little bit about that 2 weeks ago in who you are and why are you that way. Well, because God made you that way. He knew you'd be that way. He gave you those features that you have, those gifts that you have. He knew you'd have them before creation. So you have a purpose. There's meaning to your life. And we shouldn't be trying to fit you into a gift, using a gift you don't have. Another thing I learned in the nursery today, you know, the kids trying to put those square pegs in those round holes. We can't be doing that. We're going to frustrate people, will not be effective. You've got parts of the body. You don't try to make your hand your foot, I guess, unless you're a circus act or something. But, you know, you've got this, you've got the body parts in this body, this local body, and of how you fit in, that's how you should be fitting in. That's what you should be doing. So I would say that's more of using your gifts and fulfilling your who you are and the responsibilities God's given you. So, yeah, there are some evangelists, some teachers, some, you know, we're not all supposed to be all those things, although we're all supposed to glorify God. We're all created in His image. We're also desiring to be like Him. There are some things we're all supposed to be doing. And one of this thing, you know, be fruitful and multiply. Let me get back to that question. Is that, can that only be fulfilled? Can we only be fulfilled if we are in a marriage relationship and multiplying? Yes.
I think one of the most interesting of our commands is to subdue the earth. Of course, we seemingly have failed since the dawn of history.
Right. Subdue the earth. You know, we are. That's the second thing that's spoken of in verses 26 to 31. After God says, let us make man in our image and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky, over the cattle and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. We are given responsibility for this earth and all that's in it to, and you look at that word subdue, does it mean we are to use up and for our own benefit? Or is there something different than that in the subduing of this earth?
I think it means we're caretakers.
Yeah, we're caretakers. Because when you look at this idea of we are created in the image of God and we are to be desiring to be like Him, look at what God did in creating the earth. Look at how He cared for the earth. Read Psalm 104 sometime of what God does and to meet the needs of every creature. And you just see, this is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be caring for, managing, administering. We are to be caretakers of what God has left for us here on earth. And that's, we're not to be users up of the earth, although we're permitted to do that in the case of, you know, not waste, not supposed to be wasteful. When you think of a steward or a shepherd, they're doing something for the good of what they're serving, in this case, the earth. But they're also supposed to have rule over it in that sense of they were created as God's proxy here on earth. We were. And it says them. He's talking about them, man and woman. I'm still not getting an answer. Yes. Right.
To establish and work with God and build His kingdom and create
His kingdom. Right. Right. That's what I want to not lose focus on is we often focus on the context of reproducing, having children, but there's more to being fruitful and multiplying when you look at it from a spiritual sense. Because we're to do both. And when you look at Christ's teaching, that's what we're to do. You know, what is our... Pat, did you have... Yeah, that is just because, you know, what do we when we have a baptism, what is the charge to the members of a church? You know, what do you hear from the pastor in that charge that, you know, what are we called upon to do as a church? Right. To assist the parents in making that child a disciple of Christ. You know, we are to be fruitful and multiply in the sense of making other disciples. That's, you know, go ye therefore and, you know, and make disciples. You know, our purpose statement on our bulletin, our church is, it's in here, isn't it? I can't find it. Where is it, guys? There you go, mission statement. on page one, where it should be. By God's grace and for His glory, the Mount Airy Presbyterian Church family exists to make, equip, and mobilize disciples who grow in love and maturity in Christ. You know, we've pulled that from Scripture. You know, that's a paraphrase of Scripture of what we are to be. Our primary role is making disciples. You know, we are to be in the image of God. That's who we are. And we are to make disciples. And then we have these other responsibilities, I would argue, of that fit under that umbrella of ruling over the earth, of being fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it in the sense of both spiritual and physical. So let's look at, I want to get into a little bit more of this because I want to read in Genesis 2, 15 to 25. Let's look at that. Can somebody read that next passage in the outline? Genesis 2, yeah.
Then the Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you will surely die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whenever the man called the living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the sky, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason the man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed.
So it's a completely different study, different topic, but we didn't just read this, but when you look at the temptation of Satan using the serpent and getting Eve to eat the fruit, have you ever looked at what the seduction was? You know, how Satan's so crafty in his seducing of us, and in that case Eve, in she was to be like God. She was his image bearer. She knew that. She was to be like him and serve God and glorify him and, you know, be responsible for the earth. And, you know we're not like God. We know we are not achieving that. We see it every day in our lives personally we're striving to do that, and we're using the tools God's given us with prayer and scripture and serving him, using our gifts, loving him. What did Eve want? What tricked her? What convinced her? What?
Independence.
Pride.
Do
what?
Be like
God. That was the straw that got her. You will be like God. He knows you will be like him. You know, it's interesting. I don't want to diverge too far, but when you look at that seduction, you know, okay, I'm supposed to be trying to be, this is my shortcut. This is how I'm going to, you know, and then what all happened from that. But it's, we may, you know, you hear a lot of blame put on Eve. Of course, Adam's standing right there. And did it anyway, along with his wife. So, but it's just how easily we fall into sin. You can see how easily we can be tempted. What are we tempted by? Our desires that then lead us to the temptation. You know, when you look at James, the path of sin, and Satan's going to use that craftiness every time. But let's step back and look at this. Why was Eve created? Yeah, Pat? I'm sorry.
Well,
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, but it was. Right. Right. Not like Satan presented it. Right. Yeah. And so, yeah, but exactly. But let's look at this. Why was Eve created?
Not.
Right, the first words of not good are, it was not good that Adam would be, that man would be alone. So, when you look at these words, are there any Hebrew scholars among us? Good, so I can say anything I want to and no one will challenge me. What was that? Well, look at the words in verse 18 and then verse 20. What did God say he would do? And this is NASB. There are other ways it's translated. A helper suitable for him. And this word helper is the word azer. And when you look at Scripture, it's more of a military term in the sense of it's often used in God is Israel's helper. That is, Israel's helper was, or Azer is God in their need and their struggles and everything that they did. It's used in that sense, let's see, three times for military powers turned to for help. The remaining 16 occurrences refer to God as Israel's helper. It's used 21 times in the Old Testament. So 16 of those times it is used as God as Israel's helper. And so when you look at it in that context of the same word being used as a helper or azer suitable for man, you look at the historical, cultural attempt to place the word helpmeet or sidekick or, but more of a second lieutenant type role for the wife, for example, and the husband. This is not just speaking in the terms of husband and wife, but it's in terms of, looking at our roles in the church, the use of our gifts. There are definitely distinctions in Scripture on who should preach or elder or some of those roles that we have in the church. But when you look at the position of a woman and a man, I would say that this term is used in the sense of they're to serve alongside of and be that strong support, and we are to be their strong support. We're to be each other's helpers as we face the battles of life. And who better to do that in God's eyes than woman? Yes. Right. It's this idea, Israel could not do it without God, without their helper, their azer, God. Man cannot fulfill God's role, fulfill God, what we've been given to do, without woman. It was not good for man to be alone. He needed a helper suitable to fulfill what the responsibilities were. So I guess I would... in looking at this context, when you look at scriptural examples of, and there's a study that I'd encourage you to look at in studying the women of the Bible and their where God placed them, what they did. Many of them were not married. Many of them were serving in a way that God's you know, certainly purpose for Israel or for his people would not have been accomplished without her using her gifts and being this helper, being this Azer when called upon to serve in that capacity. I'd say we are all in the same responsibility, same position when God looks at us in our roles here on earth as his image bearer. Woman is not in a secondary role. And when you look at God's creation, he gave the same responsibilities to both man and woman. And this idea of being fruitful and multiply is to all of us in whatever position we're in life. We look at our position in the family, in the church family, and our physical family, and our roles are to be the same in the sense of we're to be seeking to be like God. We are to serve God using our gifts, and we are to be warriors for him in making disciples and being fruitful and multiplying. But there are other roles in marriage and as a father, as a mother, as a child, as a church member that we're going to look at individually. But I want to at least start from this position of who we are, why we were created, and what our roles are as men and women. I would say in God's eyes they're the same. And one is not secondary to the other. So we've got 30 seconds for rebuttal. Any questions or comments? We'll continue some of this next week, going through the rest of this scripture. But that's why I'm laying foundations. Sometimes it's hard getting started in a study because you lay a big foundation and people are like, well, I thought this was about something else. And so we'll get there, I promise. But with this foundation, I think is important. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit to help us understand. But Lord, thank you for the opportunity to serve together, to serve you, to seek to use our gifts to glorify you and to serve this body. Pray that you'll just lead and direct us as we go from here. Just show us what you would have us to do this week. And Lord, give us opportunities to witness for you, to make disciples, and Lord, to come back to worship next Sunday. Just thank you so much for bringing us here out today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.